Welcome to episode 6. I speak again with my friend Maru Farooq, who is an AI engineer at NVIDIA. No, Maru's views are his alone and not his employer's. In this episode, we talk about the metaverse being created for self-driving cars. When we say metaverse, we've referred generally to an immersive virtual world, not the product of any specific company. Side note, did you know the word metaverse originated in the 1992 science fiction novel Snow Crash by one of my favorite authors, Neal Stephenson? For the purposes of testing self-driving cars, a complete digital copy of the world's driving environments is being created. Think Grand Theft Auto with less destruction, profanity, and mayhem. Ultimately, the goal is to have a self-driving AI not be able to tell if it's driving in the real world or a simulation. Don't freak out, but the Matrix is being coded as we speak. Please enjoy this episode. Here's my conversation with Maru Farooq. Welcome to the Super Prompt Podcast. Join me, your host, Tony Wan, as I go under the hood with AI experts, engineers, and entrepreneurs to explore burning questions, pitfalls, and best practices. Whether you're inside the industry or not, I hope to reveal something you haven't yet discovered. We laugh, we cry, we iterate for early adopters of generative AI. Maru, welcome back. Why don't you give folks a quick introduction on yourself, and then we can dive into today's topic.
Hey, Tony. It's glad to be back here. Hey all, this is Maru here. I work as a software engineer at NVIDIA, primarily developing deep learning algorithms for a self-driving car project. I'm based off in Boulder, Colorado.
So today's topic is the metaverse, but the metaverse as applied to AI. Maru, why is this something I should care about?
The main challenge for any AI system that is safety critical, like autonomous vehicles, delivery drones, these kind of applications which are safety critical needs to be tested extensively. If we can have the metaverse as a testing platform for these safety critical applications, it's going to accelerate the rate at which we can develop these systems.
So if I interpret correctly, the key word here is safety critical. You can create the simulated world where you can test your driving algorithms. In the real world, to reproduce these scenarios, you have to happen upon these scenarios by chance. And if you're trying to recreate these scenarios, you wouldn't be able to do that ethically because you would be putting drivers at risk or cars at risk or pedestrians or other vehicles at risk. So that makes a lot of sense. How do you go about doing that?
You start with things like recreating the entire city in the digital world and simulate like different scenarios or you kind of real life incidents that happen, like, for example, a car cutting in or maybe like a cat or dog just crossing the road right in front of the car. You take this real data and create a simulation out of this so that you can test different algorithms on the same scene. The beauty of the metaverse is that you can define scenarios you want to create. Even though if you have not encountered such scenarios in the real world data,
you mentioned a cat or dog crossing the road. Like, so let's say you're, as part of data collection, you actually have seen a cattle dog cross the road. So it's part of your data set. So would you take that example and just say, okay, well, now let's make the cattle dog cross in different ways. This cattle dog that we saw on our camera cut straight across parallel to the car, but what if it cuts diagonally? What if it cuts at different speeds? Do you take something real and just fan out all the possible ways it might show up? From that one thing, generate like 1,000 test cases? Is that how it works?
I guess primarily that is how we are motivated to work on it. So we take real scenarios and sort of simulate it using different parameters.
So then the starting point is stuff you've already seen. It's not like you get a bunch of engineers and brainstorm like all the crazy things that could happen. Like, oh, how about a rubber bouncing ball? Yeah. Let's go do that. Let's write the simulation for a rubber bouncing ball. To me, that would seem like a terribly unstructured exercise, and endless kind of starting with what you've already seen seems like a better point. So, okay.
Correct. Yes. Starting with what we have actually seen and sort of investing your energy in simulating the physics of what you have seen can definitely help improve the odds of that particular system working well in the real world scenario. Although if we don't have real data, we can simulate it in simulation. We can, you know, we can have certain investments on that side to sort of simulate this particular thing.
What are certain things that don't occur in real life that you know you have to simulate? You're going to see all kinds of cars, all sorts of vehicles doing all sorts of crazy turns and lane changes. Like, what's something you know off the top of your head that like, hey, look, we're not going to get this in the real world, so we got to start getting simulation for it like now?
You can think about different kinds of animals coming on the road.
Okay, what you may need to do is different versions of the thing, or maybe there's a category. The category is animal crossing the road, and your driving data may only capture certain kinds of animals, like the very common ones, like cats and dogs and maybe deer, you know? If you're in Northern California and driving around, like often you see deers cross the road. If you're driving in countries like in Australia, they've got a whole new set of animals you've got to contend with. Kangaroos, yeah. So in this autonomous driving software, I'm assuming you have models for all different kinds of animals in terms of the physics of how they move. Is that right?
It becomes a very complex problem to define models for like all different kinds of animals and birds out there. So we have something that's very generic that defines what a general animal would go around. Yeah. So the motion does not matter. So how it jumps around, how it goes around. So it does not take into consideration is my...
Okay. It's just general animal crossing the road. And there's a whole range of how that animal can behave. So you need to give the AI model kangaroos and dogs and cats, so it knows that these are all the different ways the animal might cross the road. And maybe in the real world, you can collect the dog data, but then you would generate the kangaroo data artificially. Okay, that's interesting. Is there a name for this technique? Like,
at a very high level, this is under the computer vision problem, it's called object detection. So you're detecting these animals as a category. In one of the previous episodes, we talked about facial recognition, and you know, the first part of the system is object detection. So this is what it does here.
Okay, there's a two-step problem. First, you have to identify what that thing is. It's just generically animal crossing the road. Then you have to predict where it's going and what the response should be. Okay, got it.
Correct.
So it's a two-step. Well, thank you, Maruf. You've just kind of brought in this other kind of AI we talked about, which is this image classification. And now you're helping us understand you have to use that kind of AI within the context of autonomous driving as well. So within autonomous driving, it's composed of many different kinds of AI. And one of them is image classification. We just kind of went down in detail. Let's go back up again, because we're talking about the metaverse and why it'd be useful to create these simulated worlds in an autonomous driving context. So I imagine in other contexts, let's say it's factory automation, like you would be very advantageous to create a virtual version of a factory floor, for instance, to test how robots might navigate that factory floor. So I can see for any sort of AI that's needing to interact with a physical environment, creating a metaverse version or virtual reality of that physical environment could be very advantageous. Is that how I should think about this?
That is correct, yeah. So defining something in the digital world has the advantage that you can simulate different scenarios and you can test different algorithms and find out which one works best and translate it to the physical world.
So I can imagine, okay, factory floors, or if you're like a drone company, you would want a physical simulation of your flying environment, maybe including like weather, wind, you know, all those things that you might have to contend with as a flying drone.
factory floor, autonomous vehicles. You want to simulate the driving environment, the city environment. Okay, so my question then is, like, to simulate these worlds, create the driving metaverse, is it possible to create a generic model and then layer on city specifics? Or do you have to kind of zero in on a particular city? So for instance, would the goal be to create this generic driving model and then apply the San Francisco specifics? Or do you have to go in and just start from scratch in San Francisco, start from scratch in LA, start from scratch in Berlin?
I would imagine that, you know, there is a mapping technology that would go around each and every street, take some satellite images, fuse them, and create a virtual model of the particular city. So this particular technique has to be applied to Berlin and all the other cities that you want to develop a virtual model for. With respect to the virtual world, there's nothing that these two cities would share, except for the fact that techniques that you would use would be the same.
Let's say I build up a metaverse of San Francisco. I've spent X amount of resources. If I am trying to build up a metaverse of Berlin, do I have to do X again? Or is it 0.5X to do Berlin after I've done San Francisco? I'm just trying to figure out, and I'm able to reuse anything I've done for San Francisco to build up my model of Berlin.
So Tony, I would imagine in this case, it would be X amount of work. It's going to be the same amount of work. So we can think about this in terms of, you know, how do we build maps, right? So we have Maps. It's the same. So this particular thing in Metaverse, it's a very, very high definition kind of Google Maps with all the details, like all the buildings and materials that the buildings use and those kind of things, right?
That makes it clear, Maruf. Like, you wouldn't expect that once I've drawn a map of San Francisco and it took me like a year to do that, somehow doing a map of Berlin is going to just take me half a year. You're right. It's a very linear problem to get 10 cities. It's 10x the effort of one city.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. If you have these self-driving cars around gathering data for San Francisco, and you gather this over a span of, I don't know, 5 years, you know, you've got all this data. What's the difference between that and the metaverse?
Like, you know, if you have some real data and you want to create this city in virtual world, the amount of work is limited mostly by computing. So you want to render all of these objects that you see in this real world in the digital world. If you know that where buildings are placed, where the road is, what the things are, we can just create this digital world that was observed in the real world. The main advantage of the metaverse is that once we have this static world, I would say, like, you know, from this real data, we can simulate all sort of things. We can simulate rain, we can simulate snow in San Francisco. We can change the direction the sun rises from in the simulation.
I see. Oh, I see.
Yeah. The answer is that you don't need to have real data for this, but, you know, these are the parameters that you can play with in the real world. You can simulate what if there's a big earthquake in San Francisco and two or three buildings drop off right in front of the car. How do you deal with that?
Yeah. So, okay. So how I should understand this is there's a pile of driving data that we have, and off of this pile of driving data, which is very comprehensive, you can simulate everything else that might happen in this world. Then the scenarios that you can go simulate are, if I'm understanding you correctly, are the scenarios that you know might trip up an AI system.
Correct.
You mentioned things like sun rising from a different direction. We know these are difficult things that might trip up an AI system that are very hard to capture in the real world and all the scenarios that might trip up the AI system. So what other things besides like a sun rising from a different direction are the things you would ideally be able to simulate to kind of get all the scenarios?
You can simulate a lot of different kinds of hazards as well, like, you know, a tree falling right in front of you if there's strong winds, like a pole, electric pole falling, right? So these kind of things is something that you can actually think of doing in the simulation world, but not in the real world.
Yeah, but what are things that typically might trip up an AI that you want to get a lot of simulated data for, you know, other than these like I would say, hazards and emergency events? Like, are there other things that human beings typically are okay with that would trip up AI that we need to simulate more?
A common scenario can be like the issue with trash cans right at the driveway. You can have trash cans or some kind of trash bags just moved away to the center of the road because of wind or something, right? The other thing is like, you know, what if a bicyclist falls off from his bicycle? So that kind of dynamics, how does the car actually deal with those kind of things, right? In the moment where there's an accident in front of you.
Yeah. Okay. So these are scenarios we know they happen, but we may not be able to capture it right when it happens and we can simulate. So maybe there's a lot of stuff we observe like in the middle of the day and you can actually simulate it and under all weather conditions. If there's 100 things you experience in the day, you can just say, okay, well, we're going to experience those 100 things in rain, in snow, at night, during a hurricane. You can really fan out all of that using the kind of this metaverse concept. I've heard this word synthetic data. So explain how that ties in with the metaverse. Is how you build up the metaverse is using synthetic data?
Synthetic data is the outcome of developing a metaverse. So you know, you just place any robot in a metaverse, you attach sensors to it, you sort of simulate, you know, what the sensor would read given the robot's position. And
so you're talking about a robot in the metaverse has sensors on it.
Correct.
Okay. Right. Sensing metaverse data in the same way it would sense real world data. Okay. All right. Go on.
Correct. So whatever comes from the robot's camera is the simulated or the synthetic data.
Okay. It's a sensor that's getting data from the metaverse.
Correct.
So a self-driving car in the metaverse that has like a video capture camera on it, the data generated by that virtual self-driving car in the metaverse would be considered synthetic data.
Correct.
Oh, wow. That's trippy. Okay. So in the end, what you're really trying to do is build up this virtual environment that's completely identical to the actual environment. That's the end goal where there's no difference, right?
Right. So that is one goal of creating a metaverse, to develop a digital copy of a city or maybe perhaps someday the entire world.
Yeah.
And simulate different things in that digital world. For example, a lot of these car companies, they design cars to pass certain safety standards, like, you know, when airbags would deploy and how the car would look like after a crash. So maybe for that reason, you can simulate these different effects of if the car crashes into a building in front. So how would you simulate these kind of different things?
Yeah, I could see how it could be really useful, because when you test this in the real world, you have to be very choosy about what scenario you pick, because every scenario you have to use a car. It gets very expensive. So like what speed? What's the object it crashes into? What's the point of impact? You have to choose it very specifically. But via simulation, you can test many, many more scenarios and get, I would say, a much more comprehensive picture of the actual safety of the car. So I could see how a metaverse version of our driving environment eventually is going to make cars way more safe, even if they weren't self-driving, because these crash scenarios can all be simulated. That's quite interesting.
Correct. And one more thing is, like, you know, you think about this in terms of urban planning. How do you want to design roads in the future? How do you want to design infrastructure of cities to make it more efficient?
Oh, so you're saying more like the traffic flows?
Traffic flows and laying out new roads. Where would it make sense to bring new roads? Where would it make sense to put money and invest in expansion of roads for developing cities?
Yeah, that's interesting. So in terms of like urban planning, traffic designing, if you could simulate the behavior, yeah, you could give it a test run before you actually tear up with the roads and realize, oh no, we did this wrong. That's fantastic. So we've talked a little bit about developing the metaverse and how it's applied to this autonomous driving example. Is there other things that you find fascinating about this, you know, that we should be aware of?
if we can somehow make sure that AI is not aware of whether it's in the real world or the simulated world, that would be a big win for metaverse. You know, that's the whole end goal with respect to the AI applications.
So the goal is for an AI not to know if it's in a simulated world or a real world.
Correct.
So basically, if there's a self-driving car AI, you want to be able to drop this into the metaverse or drop it in the real world, and it's not going to know the difference.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. All right. How would it know the difference today? It would just basically...
Just by judging at the quality of data in the simulated world is a hint that we can use to measure our progress. So if a human, like if I gave you two different videos of a car driving in San Francisco, and if a human cannot tell the difference of which is simulated and which is real, I think that is something that even, you know, the AI would be confused with. So yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's a easy way to measure or gauge. A human set of eyes, say for instance, camera data, you're driving this AI in the metaverse or you're driving it in the real world, and the camera data should look exactly the same. Like you're winding through the streets of San Francisco, the lights are changing, you're making a left turn, you're making a right turn, suddenly a pedestrian walks out. It would look exactly the same. Of course, I'm thinking about the movie The Matrix, where the human beings that cannot tell if they're in the Matrix or they're not in the Matrix. But what if the human beings are the AI and we want to create a scenario where they cannot tell if they're in the Matrix or not? Wow, that's great. Okay. Like my big overall question around the metaverse is that recreate this physical world and create a simulated version of it. It seems like a monumental task. Meanwhile, people are trying to develop autonomous driving cars, and they're collecting data, improving the algorithms, and trying to move from level 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, like the things you help educate on the different levels of autonomous driving. Like it's hard for me to kind of understand how much of your, if you're a company, how much of your resources should be devoted to building out the metaverse. Do you think this is just going to be built incrementally, or are there people sinking a bunch of resources to make it comprehensive like now?
Right. So I think the former sounds correct. They're going to build it incrementally. Economics is going to guide how much investments are going to go into this particular domain, what applications are going to come out in the near term, and in the long term is going to be over the next decade.
Okay. So let me end with this question. And this is going into in the realm of speculation and opinions. So you talked us through in earlier episodes of the different levels of self-driving cars, right? Level 1, 2, 3. Level 1 is very simple. It could be something even like cruise control is considered level 1. Level 5 is full autonomous driving. These cars drive better than humans. You may not even need a steering wheel. Do you think to get to level 5, we need the metaverse? Would you think of it as a prerequisite to get to level 5? Or do you think we can get to level 5 without the metaverse? Tell me if there's a relationship between these two things.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think, yes, there is a relationship between metaverse and different types of autonomy in any form of a robot that is safety critical. And I think in the beginning of our conversation, we talked about how this is very important to simulate different scenarios in the metaverse for us to be sure that the system or the robot deployed in real world is going to do the things that we expect it to do. So this testing at scale problem is the main component here that's going to link the metaverse with the reality of fully autonomous robots out in the world.
I'm assuming that to test it on all the environments required to get to level 5, full autonomy, better than human, I don't see it happening without the metaverse. It just seems you would need to get to a pretty built out metaverse to achieve that level of testing. So I almost imagine level 5 and this fully built out metaverse happening at the same time. I mean, what do you think of that?
my thought on that is a fully built metaverse may not be necessary at this point. We may require challenging scenarios where we can simulate data. But, you know, the whole idea of developing this entire metaverse where people can digitally interact with one another may not be necessary for this to happen.
By the time we get to level 5 in terms of self-driving autonomy, we'll have built out very substantially the driving metaverse. Like, if you want it to be fully indistinguishable from reality, it's like you need to cover all the scenarios. You don't need to cover all of them to get to level 5, but you've covered a lot of them. We're building it up gradually, piece by piece, trying to solve like real world problems. I can see how it's super important to self-driving cars and AI in general. Definitely gives me more things to think about. As always, thank you so much for spending time with us and helping us understand these topics. And I really appreciate you joining us again, Maruf.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at the Super Prompt Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a 5-star review. See you next week at Super Prompt.